My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum. It is the Duckfeed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And this week we're talking about Bug, an episode directed by Terry McDonough, written by Moira Wally Beckett and Thomas Schnauz, and it originally aired on September the 11th, 2011. Never forget.
Don't fucking forget when this episode aired.
Nope.
I never will. This is Hank's investigation, and the cartel's recent moves are putting a bunch of pressure on Gus.
Yeah.
So Gus folds in this, and he has to fold Jesse in.
Right.
To the fold.
Yeah.
They could have called this episode Fold.
They could have called it
Triple
Fold.
Meaning.
As the wiki points out, the bug is named after the bug that Walt puts on Gus's car.
Oh, fuck.
And
I knew
also
it had to reference something.
And also the bug that Walt puts on Jesse's car.
Oh, I'm such an idiot. How did I miss that?
It's called parallelism.
Yeah, shit. Such an idiot. This is real bad news for Walt. Because it means Jesse's probably not going to kill Gus and solve all their problems, even though obviously that does not solve all their problems.
No.
Walt is really mono-focused at this point.
Right. One of my favorite subplots in the show. Remember all that book cooking that Skyler did for Ted?
Yeah. It's come home to roost.
Bills do.
Christopher Cousins fans rejoice. He's back. Yeah, good Skyler episode.
Oh yeah.
Love schemey Skyler.
Yeah. Ted shows up at the car wash saying, "Yeah, the feds are auditing me and I might be going to jail." And Skyler's names are all over those books. So,
yep. So she takes matters into her own hands. It's going to be kind of a subplot for this. And this is the last place-setting episode before we get just four episodes of climax. Of this that are incredible, one of the most incredible runs of TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were watching live during this, it was, I mean, there's not even anything like this in I would say in Better Call Saul or in season 5. You know, even the last run-up of the series, you know, has more downtime than this.
Yeah.
This is just kind of climax after climax.
It's hard to say because I wasn't current at this time during Better Call Saul, but like the desert episode, like waiting for that whole saga to kind of get through, I imagine probably would have felt kind of similar to this.
This is two episodes though.
Yeah.
Like this is, you know, roughly a third of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. When you nut, but Vince keeps sucking. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like Vince will never stop. Will never get off your dick, and it non-derogatory, you know, it's really good. The next episode has my favorite music cue. In the whole series, my favorite soundtrack choice.
Yeah.
I don't like the VOCs or whatever they're called, but that song choice is perfect for that scene. Yeah, really, really good shit.
Yeah. But this episode, you know, we're talking about stuff that's coming up. Like there's some standout scenes in this. This has one of my favorite scenes in the series.
Yeah. No, this is great.
Yeah.
Like really, really good. End of season 4 is really great.
Yeah.
This is the last time we're gonna see Pollos Hermanos, the restaurant. Until Better Call Saul. So goodbye, Pollos.
Goodbye, Pollos. Nice. I feel like I've said this, but we record this show so intermittently that I can't remember. Man, how good would Pollos be? Like every time I see it or think about it, I think, man, that would probably be a pretty good fast food chicken restaurant, actually.
There's a Binging with Babish where he tries to recreate it, and it looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good fast food chicken is fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and this, you know, and like right now, you know, obviously, like I would say Popeyes is probably on top of that, you know, this with actual ethnic spices, you know, I don't know, it's like Chilean, like something with a little bit more to it than just kind of, you know, the Cajun
salt. Yeah.
Yeah. With more salt. I mean, there's the amount of salt in Popeyes cannot be understated.
Oh yes, yes.
Or cannot be overstated.
It's all that KFC has.
Yeah,
it's salt.
Exactly.
Flavored.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be really, really special.
Yeah.
I would love some Pollos.
There are some other trivia bits, but I just kind of sprinkled them out because it'd be weird to talk about those scenes and then talk about them again. So
yes. Yeah. We start out with one of these cold opens that I don't love, the implying Walt died cold opens.
Yeah.
You know, these are a bunch of close-ups on Walt's glasses on the floor. They're broken. Blood drips down on them. And then a bloody hand comes and picks them up.
Yeah. A little teasy. I don't know. It's trying to be tricksy, but adding up. Not really. I don't know. You don't need to make this more suspenseful.
It's not as tricksy as, you know, season two.
Right.
Pool stuff, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah. So the actual episode begins. Walt is showing up to Hank's to pick him up for another mineral show. Obviously going out and picking the bug back up.
Marie thinks it's a strip club, which I like.
Because Hank asks Walt, are you ready to get your rocks on?
Get your rocks on. You got any ones? Uncle Hank, right at it.
Yeah.
And Hank is having the best time.
Oh, yeah.
He's really excited, you know, because he thinks he's going to get pay dirt.
Yeah, it's been a week. You know, he's been biding his time. Hank is so obnoxious in the car on the way over to the restaurant, just loudly eating snacks and telling Walt to relax.
Yep, and then singing Eye of the Tiger.
So
very good.
A $15,000 joke.
Bam, 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 bam. Just to have him do it with his voice.
he gets the melody and the words wrong.
Yeah, it's really good. And again, his ability to read micro expressions would destroy the series because Walt is so obviously, like, you know, not nervous about picking up a bug.
Right. I don't want to get lost. They paid $15,000 to have Hank badly sing Eye of the Tiger.
It's pretty rough stuff. Yeah. Walt notices Tyra's tailing them. During this. So they get there, Walt gets out, he grabs the tracker, and then rather than going inside, he immediately gets in the car.
He doesn't want to be there longer than he has to.
Yeah. Yep. Because he's being watched. Mm-hmm. You know, Hank says, hey, you should have gone in to make it more plausible. He's like, no, we'll just go there. And Hank says, I want a vanilla shake. And we'll go through the drive-thru.
Got to be in motion. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And back at Hank's place, they check the route data and they see that the car had only moved all week back and forth between work and Gus's house, which is a bad move on Gus's part.
Yeah, it's a little bit much. He's got a lot of plates he's spinning.
Yeah.
Right now, I imagine he set somebody else on this, you know, and actually when he had to go around, went in different cars, you know, and it's a, but I it is a mistake. It's a tactical error.
Yeah.
You know. Hank calls him a chicken slinging son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a horrible Primus song. And Walt says, you know, maybe like he's not actually your guy. He just goes, he walks left and right, Hank. And Hank goes, no. You know, a guy this clean has got to be dirty. We got to figure out what our next move is.
While talking to
it's
Walt.
It's always the person you least suspect.
I find often it's the person I most suspect.
Yeah. So he's going to keep scheming, and Walt's like, fuck. Gets back in the car, and he sees Tyrus casing the joint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is, he's... You know, the beginning of this arc of him, you know, last episode, he begged to the camera. He wants Gus to pay attention to him, not Hank.
Yes.
Like, his worst nightmare at this point is that Gus just kills Hank.
Right.
Because Hank is being a real pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to get Tyrus out of there. He pulls up alongside him. I love this. Tyrus doesn't say anything. He just rolls down his window. And then Walt, without saying anything, calls the police.
Yes.
And she's, there's a stranger looking at a house over here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not moving.
He's real and then suspicious. Tyrus
just, and just leaves.
So Walt goes to work and is surprised to see that Jesse's there. You know, he's been out on errands with Mike pretty frequently, but it's just there smoking, and Jesse's already got the batch started, so they have time to talk. And Walt asks Jesse for a cigarette. All of this is code for, hey, how's your novel coming, bud? How's the poisoning going?
And Jesse even says, it's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get a chance. He said, no, give me a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not a smoker, you know, at this point. Does not hold it well, coughs and everything. And then Walt trying to make the small talk, you know, like, hey, what have you been up to? Mm-hmm. And I love Jesse. What? Like, we don't have that kind of relationship.
What do you do after work?
I watch TV. He's like what? I don't know, stuff. What kind of stuff? Stuff like Ice Road Truckers. Love that.
What happens in that one? Guys drive on ice. It's like
Also like how it's seeding his Alaska thing.
Uh-huh.
This early. Like, you know, he's always like he's kinda into Alaska. It's kind of cool to him. It's well, like me in archery. Like, he's just like, I don't know. It kind of works for him.
Jesse is looking at Walt like he's a dog trying to walk on his hind legs like a human, and he's disgusted by it.
It's really good. You know, he's like, listen, I'm going to do it. You know, chill the fuck out.
Oh. Yeah. You know, and you know, Jesse's just like, hey, you know, like, you got to inhale anyway. Besides, haven't you already got enough cancer? And you know, Walt throws back at him, you know, what's it matter? We're both dead anyway, right?
Yeah. Walt's gonna make tactical errors during this whole thing, but Walt doesn't not have a point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that Gus kills Hank, you know, that Walt's a liability at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse, like, they are in danger.
Yes.
Right? Skyler's at the office late. She calls Walt at the condo, and they have a little coded conversation, you know, first about Junior's 16th birthday plans, getting him a reasonable car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and says, hey, Walt, do you have any input? And Walt's just like, no, you know, whatever you want to do is good. When he answers, he's like, I got a minute. And he's lying in bed drinking beer, which is the most minutes you can have.
Yep. He's rolling in minutes. Yeah.
He's rolling in minutes. His anytime minutes are overflowing. And Skyler starts going in code. You know, hey, business is good. It's really good. You know, mm-hmm. Are you turning a profit? Not just yet, but very close. Pretty soon, you might not have to work your second job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be time to start planning an exit strategy. And he just kind of sighs like, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like this, at this point, he would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Walt decides I'm going to be meth man. I feel like,
yes.
I think the confidence he gets from this season 4 finale is what makes him decide to become meth man.
Yeah.
And turns him into season 5 ultra dick.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. He's working on
that's
it.
That's how I read it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do believe he wants out, but combination of crawl space and, you know, killer Jesse James, I think, makes him feel invincible.
Right? Crawl space does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And just like, what am I fucking living for? it was just one of the best scenes of all time.
Oh yeah.
So the call ends, he looks over his nightstand, and he has one of the GPS trackers.
Yeah.
Or a bug. As the title tells us.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't think of that. Yeah. So cut to morning. The tracker's packaging is open. It's gone. He drunkenly went out and planted the bug on Jesse's car. Right. And Hank calls, you know, waking him up. He's been thinking this over, saying, hey, it doesn't make any sense. He's just been driving back and forth between his home and that restaurant. He has 13 other restaurants, but there's a distribution center centrally located. We should probably go check that out. He's looking at satellite images of the chicken farm.
Yeah. Yep. And Walt plays the one get out of jail free card we all get.
Mm-hmm.
That you only get to play so many times unless you know the other person.
Right.
Like, so let's say he plays a diarrhea card. He's, you know, bad Mexican food, bad Tex-Mex.
Uh-huh.
You could, let's say you're working a job. Mm-hmm. You get to play this. This is a service for people listening.
Yeah.
If you are working a job and you just like, I just got absolutely, and you start, you don't have to talk about it in detail,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you just say those words, you get out of work.
Yep.
Most people will understand that. If you keep doing it, they might get suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
The way to get around that is start a podcast with somebody who has similar gut issues,
mm-hmm.
and do it for more than a decade.
Yes.
And then you know each other's gut issues well enough that, like, you can use that card whenever you want. It becomes, you know, free flow.
Yep.
Like, you get unlimited uses. But in a regular job, you only get to use it a couple times.
Yeah, there's like a 6-month cooldown on this move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this ultimate.
that you have. Another piece of advice, no matter what job you start, both of your grandparents are alive.
Yes, exactly.
The day you interview.
All four.
But yeah. All four of your grandparents are alive.
Yes. That gives you four extra ultimates.
Yes.
Those are consumables, though. you know, he's like, I'm undisposed. And Hank's like, what? You know, in the toilet? You know, he's like, yeah, Tex-Mex. And then Hank's like, that's all right. I've been leaning on you a lot. I can get another ride. And Walt's like, shit. You know, I was just trying to bide for time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, you know, I'm sure this is just a 24-hour thing. I'd really love to be the one to take you there. I just really enjoy the time with you and helping you. Which the entire time he's just been shaking like a rabbit.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like there's no man has ever enjoyed something less than this.
Okay. You know. But, you know, Hank relents. He's like, okay, I didn't realize it meant so much to you. You know, he can wait 2 days. Yeah. And 2 days is enough for a cleanup to be made. So Walt calls Mike. Never begin a phone call like this, by the way. If we're handing out life advice, don't begin a phone call by saying, I just want to say, don't be angry.
Yeah. they get decided if they're angry.
Yeah.
You know, says, hey, Hank's going to want to check out the chicken farm. And Mike just hangs up. We cut over to Jesse at the farm, opening up buckets and cleaning the batter off of bags of meth.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the cleanup.
Yeah.
You know, you ask Tyrus, like, where are these going? Tyrus is elsewhere. You know, they cannot be here.
Yeah.
And Gus is overseeing this. Great shot of him in the distance, just silhouetted.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the door. Like, it's really good.
Yeah.
Unmistakable silhouette.
Yes. It's like the headlights cast against the fog, and then, like, people in the foreground are, like, steam cleaning the floor.
Yeah, yeah, really good.
Yeah. So Skylar's at the register falsifying receipts, you know, just doing the, you know, please give this to your car care professional. SUVs are extra. Hand wax this time? Okay. Just talking to herself, you know, telling the story. And then in comes Ted.
Yep. Hey, Sky. You know, doing his thing. And he's like, we have to talk. Skylar thinks that she wants to talk about their relationship. Mm. And she says, you know, I don't think we have anything to relationship or to talk about. And he goes, we do, actually.
Yeah.
And they meet, and he explains Beneke Fabrications is undergoing an audit.
Yes.
He is, you know, this is felony tax evasion. You know, she's the one who lets him know, like, that's prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
For this is a big deal. And Ted initially came here not to warn her or anything,
uh-huh.
but to ask if she knows an accounting trick.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, can you do something, some kind of accounting magic to undo this?
I was just going to say, he thinks that accountants are wizards.
Yeah. Which I do too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand accounting. And like, the idea that a book can be cooked and uncooked makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Books is like eggs.
Yeah, you uncook them.
Yeah.
You know, you just put a scrambled egg back in the shell.
Happens every day.
That'd be scary. cracked open an egg and this egg was always like cooked and scrambled.
Well, that just sounds like a time saver.
It would be a time saver, but a scary time saver.
You can kind of do that. Like, I've seen people do that. Like, you spin an egg real fast to break the yolk inside. Always looks unpleasant, though.
And then you can make kind of a mixed egg. But then cooking it inside, you can just kind of get this weird orange blob. It doesn't, you know, and she's like, you know, no, I can't do that. That's stupid. Wait, hold up. Those are the books I cooked, you know, so I signed them everywhere. And she's worried about himself. Ted, who is a piece of shit,
mm-hmm.
is trying to say, like, they're not after you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was desperate and I came to you, but you're fine.
No.
And she's like, no. Like, I'm not fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an 80% conviction rate. They're going to be able to tap phones of anyone involved in your books, which includes me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, you know, to be honest, they're not going to be after a cashier at a car wash.
Burn.
And she's, you know, they're after me. And she's like, I cannot have this in my business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This cannot be.
Yeah, this is before she starts kind of letting him in that there are things that she doesn't want, you know, too close of a look at. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He just leaves. I'm going to figure out a way to fix this. Don't worry about Sky. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So Mike's inspecting the warehouse with the black light and having Jesse go and scrub the missed spots. And Jesse asks Mike if Gus is going to kill Hank. You know, and he's kind of monologuing about this, you know, saying like, oh, you know, like, yeah, it makes sense. He's making all this trouble, but killing a cop would be suspicious. Mike knows exactly what Jesse's doing, right? Trying to say without saying that, like, hey, this thing that you're likely thinking about doing will make problems.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, would you have a problem with that?
Yeah.
You know, and Jesse just stares, you know, for a second and goes, who really cares what I think, you know, with this. They go to leave, and Jesse, you know, this happens great. This is a signature scene as well.
Mm-hmm.
They get out. It's really mundane.
Mm-hmm.
They're just heading out to the truck to look at that. And all of a sudden, one of Mike's guys gets shot in the head
mm-hmm.
By a sniper out of nowhere.
Spray of blood up against one of the truck walls. right? Yep. And Jesse freezes, you know, like, yes, seeing somebody's brain blood sprayed everywhere, probably likely to shake anybody who's not used to it. But like, I don't know, Jesse is still traumatized from shooting somebody in the head himself, too.
Well, it's also one of those fight, flight, or freeze things. I don't think you necessarily get to control.
No,
what happens when somebody gets sniped next to you? Like, I mean, I know it. I would catch the bullet and throw it back, but I don't know why. I think most people don't actually get to choose. And
not everybody's trained for that as much as you have.
Yeah, it's a Navy SEAL thing. I think like your body rolls a D6, and then like that basically determines what you do.
Yeah, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is like it probably informed a little bit of what he how his reaction was. I just wanted to draw that because I honestly don't think about it because the immediacy of the situation is there. But like, you know, I'm just saying it's a little bit of extra sauce on the
He's plate, not necessarily comfortable with people being shot in the head.
No. And the sniper gets Jesse in his sights when Mike tackles him out of the way.
Yeah. They're all saying there, you know, Mike says, I love this. He's like, get comfortable, kid. We might be here for a little while. Like Mike just has a handgun.
Yeah.
You know, and they're under sniper fire. We're going to find out Mike has been in this situation many times.
Oh, yeah.
through his history. And then one of the, again, iconic scene and something that appeals to my gross masculinity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not gross as in disgusting, but gross as in crude.
Mm-hmm.
Gus walks out in the line of fire and it is just, it's one of the most badass things that ever happened on a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like, I hate appreciating things on that level. I always hear people in, you know, over my shoulder calling me a dope for liking this kind of thing. Like, oh, where's your Scarface poster?
Yeah.
But it is like the coolest fucking thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's incredibly cool. Gus just walks out, cause he knows they won't shoot him, but they're doing warning shots constantly in the sand. And he's not breaking stride.
No. He knows he's untouchable in the current, in the current situation, the way things stand. Right.
Yes. Super good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puts his hands out, you know, Jesus poses, and gives the most fuck you look I've ever seen, you know, an actor give.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think you should feel bad about appreciating this, right?
No, like, it's a little, without all the buildup and all the characters we know, this is the kind of thing that would be used for cheapness in like the Expendables.
Yeah.
Right? It's Expendables coded a little bit.
Yeah.
That's where I feel embarrassed. But this show is better than that. They use this artfully and they don't over deploy it.
Yes.
You know?
They have earned it. And the sniper, Gaff, gets up and leaves, right? Figures, okay, I'm beaten. The message has been sent.
Yep. Then later that night, Gus gets a call in his office and he says, you know, tell them the answer is yes. He's relenting.
Yes. So back at the lab, Jesse and Mike show up with a laundry cart going down the cargo elevator. And Walt says, should I even ask? And Mike's response is delivered. So great. I wouldn't.
It's really good. And Walt sees this as an opportunity, right? Like he's still trying to galvanize Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants Jesse to be scared of Gus. He's read the situation completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, is this just going to be a regular thing? This is just another guy that Gus killed to send a message. And Mike knows exactly, you know, everyone knows exactly what, you know, Walt is doing at any given time.
Yep.
At this point, Mike has no patience.
No.
You know, grabs him and says, get another barrel. And if you ever fucking plan on calling the cops, one of my guys again, grab two.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. do not talk about this.
God, Mike's complete impatience with Walt is just delicious really to good. Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his fuse with him gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, so they, Mike sends the truck away, the two tap that means go dispose of this body. And Jesse's like, hey, you know, I never said thanks, you know, so thank you. Mike just kind of nods and says, next time don't stand there like a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not saying fucking, but he's just
mad. Yeah. He lost one of his guys and we're going to learn Mike is incredibly loyal to his guys.
Well, right. And he's in danger.
Oh yeah.
You know, this whole bit, Jesse lays it out, you know, at this point, you know, what was Gus's deal with that Terminator shit? You know, and Mike says, you know, Gus, you know, the cartel can't kill Gus.
Yeah.
And then Jesse says, oh, so it's open season on the rest of us. And like, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, during this interstitial, but Mike doesn't feel equipped to like explain this.
No.
Or strategize. He's a soldier,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. So he says, you know, if you have questions, ask the man yourself.
Which is a big signal that Jesse's moving up. Right.
Yeah.
So like, oh, like I could just call and arrange this. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, shit. God, I would cut over to one of my favorite scenes in the series. This is so good. This is so funny. This is like Better Call Saul shit. I was actually surprised.
It's very Better Call Saul.
I was really surprised that what's his name didn't write this. Oh gosh,
Gould.
Gould. Yes, there we go. So Ted's
the writer of Double Dragon.
Not a lie. Go listen to the not Double a lie. Dragon.
Look it up.
Double Dragon episode of Adaptation Decay. But Ted's in the conference room, you know, at the some kind of IRS building, and he's with the auditor, and he doesn't have any answers for any of the questions. You know, the auditor asks something. He's like, "Well, I don't know. I've got to look through these receipts to see." Like, nope. That's what we're here for. Take all the time you want. Like,
brutal. Just, what a nightmare.
He's out at the end of a limb. And then Skylar shows up, you know, walks in, kisses Ted on the cheek, and she's all dolled up. She is in heavy makeup, wearing a push-up bra, showing a ton of cleavage, short dress, and this building is so confusing. This building is so confusing. There are doors everywhere.
The auditor, you know, starts questioning, you know, you must be Skylar White. And he's like, "Well, maybe something about this missing revenue." And Skylar wheels over to him and says, no, it's all there. And just points to the papers. Uh-huh. You know, he's like, "Oh, no, that account in question, they pay electronically. You know, since there's no receipt, I didn't mark it down."
Yeah. I'm a real paper person, but they're one of those environmental people.
Yeah. You know, and he says this is illegal, and she does a little real fast forward to current times politics. Yeah. You know, that's illegal. And she says, you know what they say about opinions, right? Everyone's got one. That's not what illegal means.
And then she says, just a wonderful, wonderful line. "Well, when I input everything into the Quicken, nothing flashed red, so that means everything's okay, right? Do you guys use it? It's the best. It's like having a calculator on your computer."
Like having a calculator on your computer. And this is strategic and brilliant. You know, you used Quicken for something as big as this. The auditor says, "What are your qualifications?" She says, "Well, I don't really have any, but I've always been gifted with numbers." And she puts her hand on Ted's leg to back her up. Mm-hmm. And Ted doesn't figure out what's going on. Ted is maybe gets the award for most gormless motherfucker on this whole show.
Gormless is the word.
I like Ted, but like, my man is gormless.
it's his gift in a way, right?
Yeah. Christopher Cousins. We're looking for somebody tall and gormless. Basically the subtext here for people who are listening to the show as a service is she's painting a picture that Ted hired her because of tits.
Yes.
And she was desperately incompetent.
Yes.
It's all her fault. She was just sleeping with the boss.
Right. It's the bimbo gambit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. AKA Mon Ami, we at spring break.
just playing into sexist tropes, right? Just trying to say, all right, this is the reason why the books are fucked. Like, you know, it could
women
it,
be dumb and it, they be having vaginas.
Yes, it could plausibly be incompetence, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And he says, "Are you handling accounts for another company right now?" And she goes, "Right now? No, I'm just a cashier at a car wash." And that cinches it, you know. They leave the offices, and she immediately switches into hyper-competent mode. You know, and Ted's like, "I don't know what that was, but you sure saved my bacon," or something like that. And she's like, "Listen, you know, ignorance of the law is not criminality. You're not going to go to jail now. You just have to pay your back taxes." Mm-hmm. And Ted, who's just a bottomless barrel of fuckery, is just like, "Yeah, well, I owe $617,000. I don't have any of it."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she goes, "Fucking make it happen. Sell your house, sell the BMW." And he goes, I can't."
Mm-hmm.
"You know, I wish I could." And he pulls out his key fob, and he's getting to a Geo Metro. He sold the BMW.
The just absolutely slaying it when they need to have like a shitty car.
Geo Metro is the car.
It is the car, just like the Aztec is the perfect car for Walt.
Well, and a Saul's car.
Oh yeah, yeah. The what is it? It's a Suzuki Esteem or something like that.
Yeah, the Esteem. Yeah, it's really good car work on this show.
The absolute mom car that is the PT Cruiser that they end up with.
Great car work on this.
Yeah.
In real life, I feel like Ted could set up a plan for this.
Yeah.
Like the IRS wants their money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to just, you know, shake blood from a stone and yell at you.
It's the government. Like, they want the money. They're going to be there for a while.
Yeah. They want the money. They will play the long game. But for dramatic purposes, it's a deadline.
Right.
You know, so Skyler's not off the hook.
No, not at all. No. So Jesse's in his car, it's nighttime, and he transfers the rice and cigarette into a new pack before he goes into Gus's house for dinner, running the dinner play here. Pretty much the same stew. I just picture Gus painstakingly making this delicious stew every night.
Stew for my real friends, vegetable trays for my
fake friends.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, making the stew, and they don't really talk very much during this. You know, when Gus had Walt over, he still had respect for Walt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, I will teach you how to be a wealthy man, things like that.
Yeah.
This is purely business.
Right.
You know, he's like, I understand you have concerns. We'll eat first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jesse's playing with the cigarettes and thinking about putting rice in a big pot of stew.
Right.
You know, but does not do it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Gus is trying to manage Jesse's reaction, right? And kind of establish a little bit more, you know, dominance in the situation, right? And as they're eating, you know, Gus is like, you know, what happened at the, you know, to the man at the farm was a terrible thing. And Jesse kind of loses it, you know, cracks wise about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse doesn't put up with any of the shit. The thing that has always happened since, you know, Box Cutter, what that did for Jesse is it broke the masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is playing a game, but Jesse sees it. You know, like, and he cuts right to it. He doesn't, you know, his whole thing, at least we now all know where we are.
Yes.
Right. Like that is. So, the same thing with, oh, I guess it's just open season. The rest of it, he's like, oh, you know, you mean that guy that got his head fucking blown open right in front of me, you know? And Gus counters him like, listen, I want to discuss what's going on in the business, our business, like men, you know, like, let's be professional about this. I will answer your questions, but I have one of my own. Can you cook Walt's formula without him?
Yeah.
And Jesse reasonably, you know, thinks this is, he's like, oh, you know, the junkie loser you're going to kill in the desert a month ago. You want to do this so I can cook, you know, I can be Gale. You know, you can kill Mr. White. And if you do that, you're going to have to kill me too.
Yeah.
And this is not what Gus was asking.
No. He needs Jesse to help avoid an all-out war with the cartel. This is something that Gus is doing out of necessity, but it is also something that will very specifically ingratiate himself, and, you know, and ingratiate him to Jesse, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, I just, that line, you know, our business, like the whole, like, men thing, whatever, that probably isn't going to work on Jesse, but like saying, hey, you're included in this, you're important, and I need to rely on you, and you're the only person who can do it, is a big deal. Yeah.
That's a shortcut to Jesse's heart.
Yes.
You know, during this. It's also interesting the way that everything has kind of settled out to be the only way that it can be, by which I mean, if Walt wasn't such a fuckboy, Walt would be the natural choice for this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the reason why he's not taking Walt is he does not trust him.
No.
For this. Like, Walt could certainly cook Walt's formula. He's less essential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he took him down there and the cartel just decided to take Walt, I feel like Gus might just be like Yahtzee.
Uh-huh.
Well, at that point, like, yeah, you know,
I mean, take him. It's not just the fact that Walt is untrustworthy. It's also the fact that if you take Walt into cartel territory, like the Salamancas want him still.
Yeah. For sure. You know, but the, so it's a, Jesse says he can't trust him, but I guess that is true.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to tell Jesse that the cartel wants to kill Walt.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah.
So the, Skyler gets out of bed. She can't sleep, you know? And she goes and looks at the vacuum sealed money in the crawl space, saying that up like, shit, you know, I have $600,000. You know, Jesse and Walt are finishing their day at the lab with the weigh-in, and Walt leaves and grabs the GPS tracker from Jesse's car.
Yeah. And at home, he's checking the trip data when he gets a message from Jesse. You know, there's something important that he needs to discuss, you know, over at Jesse's house, right?
Yeah. And this is really heartbreaking because Jesse is reaching out for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse's freaking out. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, Gus wants me to go to Mexico. I have to deal with the cartel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, word has come down. The cartel wants half of Gus's operation and the formula. They want me to teach him to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't trust you. What the hell am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what can you coach me? What if the equipment is in Mexican instead of English?
Yeah.
You know, Mexican.
What if a cartel chemist has a question that I can't answer for it? right? Like this, yep. He knows how to do this stuff, but he doesn't know the principles and stuff behind it. He's freaked out.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Super freaked out. I gotta go do a cartel quiz. You know, that's rough stuff. I wouldn't want the cartel to ask me my name.
No.
Like I don't think I'd feel confident.
It seems like it would be problems. I'd be really freaked out why they were asking that. They're criminals.
Yeah. They're super scary.
Yeah.
And Walt said, did you see Gus? He's like, no. You know, who'd you hear this from? I was like, it was passed down, Mike and people, just like I said. And Walt is giving him a chance to come clean here in a way that's really kind of condescending and weird.
Yeah.
And myopic.
Yes.
He's very focused on this bit.
Jesse's the only person on his side here, right?
Yeah. He's going to fuck that up.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't at Gus's last night.
Yeah.
He grabs a cigarette, sees that the ricin is still there.
Yeah.
And basically, he says, Jesse sees, he knows I was there. Mm-hmm. So listen, I didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
I lied because I knew he wouldn't believe me. There's just one big pot of stew. I would have had to poison both of us.
Mm-hmm. It's a logistical problem, right? It's like when Walt was over there and he saw the knife.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He would have had to stab both of them.
it's not exactly like it.
It was that knife from the Phantom Menace. here's where Walt fucks up. He goes, you were there for 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How would I have the wherewithal to put the necessary dosage of exactly this much in?
And that specificity is, something that breaks their relationship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Jesse at this point realizes, listen, after all I've done for you, you fucking bugged my car.
Mm-hmm.
And while what you've done for me, you killed me is what you've done. You signed my death warrant. And then he does the thing you can't do. And this is also a horrible thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You want some advice? Go to Mexico, screw it up like you screw up everything, and go wind up in a barrel somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking horrible thing to say.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
And this starts a fight. And this is, it's uncomfortable to watch people, fight. This is heartbreaking. Right.
Yeah.
Just because they fought before, they've kind of slapped at each other and stuff. This is knockdown drag out, and it is realistic in a way that I can only sum up as uncomfortable. Right.
Yeah.
There's like attempted eye gouging. There's like reaching into each other's mouths. There's just a lot of like breathless kind of grabbing and hitting kind of going on. Like this feels like two people who have never fought fighting. Yeah. Real raw.
Yeah. Exceedingly raw. And it kind of comes in phases. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're done. And then Walt gets up and Jesse yanks his leg out. He hits his face on the coffee table and hits him a bunch, pummels him, furious. Like, how dare you say that to me after all this stuff?
Yeah.
Eventually they get up, and I love this bit here where Jesse's like, can you walk? And I get the sense that Walt felt like this was going to be like their other fights.
Yeah.
Like Walt's like, yeah. Just think like, okay, now we've calmed down, we can actually talk.
Yeah.
But Jesse said, get the fuck out and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yeah. If you can walk, then walk your way out of my life, please.
Yep. Yeah. And Walt grabs his broken glasses and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Sad ending.
Very sad. Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
That fight is awful. They intentionally fought it to look sloppy. Shot it that way. And in the fight, Aaron Paul accidentally hit Bryan Cranston in the nose.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
And that's why they haven't talked to this day.
Yeah, they still don't. They actually did a bunch of green screen on that episode of It's Always Sunny that they're both on. Yeah. It's setting up. Mm-hmm. We're in the cool zone.
Yeah.
This immediately, I'm still not watching ahead.
Okay.
I'm watching with the show, even though the strength to not just let Salud ride was pretty intense.
That opening shot is really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it autoplays, and you're like, oh man, they're on the desert. It's so good.
Yeah. I love that episode so much.
Yeah.
So.
I succumbed. I basically, in between two recordings, watched the rest of the series and then all of Better Call Saul. So, I'll try not to do so again, but we are, it's over a long time, right?
Yeah, you do you. Yeah. I just wanted to not have to rewatch them.
Yeah.
To make myself fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So, great episode. coming up on like the climax stuff of the series, that the with all of the shows, the most cartoonish and like supervillainy it gets, probably coming up, but also the height of those joys.
Yeah.
You know, that it's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Like that version of the show.
Yes.
It's at its best.
Yeah. I love when we get Walt as the hunched over little bomb goblin, right?
Yeah. I like bomb goblin Walt.
Yeah. If you like this show, you can help us by supporting us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Get whole bonus shows. If you like us talking about media, Unfilmable is our show where we talk about horror movies.
Yeah. And all, you know, we don't put out stuff we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's all worth it. And there's something out there for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? So, what else? Leave ratings, reviews, Apple Podcast, Podcast Addict. People are constantly starting rewatches of Breaking Bad because it's a great show. Capitalize on that.
Yes.
You know, get them.
Be our sales team. They're vulnerable right now. They're susceptible.
Yeah, street team. Yeah, strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who also composed our theme song.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, and until next time, don't do what Donnie's don't do.
No.
Like, none of this is good. I know we can't just keep using that, but it will remain true for the entire rest of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, just don't do the things that happen
in the
show.
It's a pretty good negative example.
In this one specifically, I want to say, if you're going to run a company, so, like, I half run a company. I don't know anything about accounting, but I know enough to not do TED.
Yes.
Like, I don't think I would go to H&R Block and be like, can you just fix it? You know, and then when they said, no, you're going to go to jail, I'd be like, well, I'll figure something out. And then do fucking what? Mr. Cousins, where'd you go?
Come after on, that? Bud. Come on, bud.
Like, you went to the Black Bear Diner and had a patty melt and, like, sulked.